Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, bitches? How's everybody doing today? Blog Talk Radio may be having some issues. We will see. It's always something. There's always something going on. But I have an awesome show for you today. If indeed I'm actually on air right now, which I don't know. good news is the setup in the studio is back. I mean, obviously, we had some issues yesterday with the camera. Anybody who looked at the YouTube videos is well aware that we didn't actually have video yesterday. Well, we did. I mean, if you listen to the live show, you know that it was recorded, but it was so abysmally bad that scrapped it and just did audio. So I got all the computers up and running. Obviously, issue with that yesterday. No more! Today, it is fixed. So I got a great show for you guys. We got Ben Carson has been picked for a position in Donald Trump's government, which, I mean, get your cringe face on, get your face palm on. That's as bad. Really? Ben Carson? All right, wait until I tell you the position he actually got to. It's hilarious. We have Republicans who make just absurd claims about Obamacare. I can't wait to get into that. There's a lot to say about those stories. And later on in the show, oh no, are we already talking about 2020? Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Guess who the speculation is throwing in there now for the race in 2020. We shouldn't even mention it, but we're going to mention it specifically so we can mock the fact that other people are mentioning it. And obviously, you guys want to hear Madonna's thoughts on politics, so you're going to do that. You're going to get that. You're going to get Madonna's thoughts on politics. All right, so without further ado, let's get started here. And we'll kick it off with Donald Trump and his new hilarious appointment. Donald Trump picked Ben Carson to be in his administration. Fantastic idea there, Don. So they say here, he'll serve as Secretary of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Carson has been a vocal critic of HUD's fair housing rule. Do people say HUD or HUD? I genuinely don't know the answer to that question, which requires local communities to assess patterns of income and racial discrimination in housing. Carson has described the rule as a mandated social engineering scheme. He said, quote, this is just an example of what happens when we allow the government to infiltrate every part of our lives. This is what you see in communist countries. Yeah, so this is a Trump 101 move at this point, where he's taking somebody who doesn't believe in this particular agency to lead the agency. Same was the case when they were floating, hey, how about we pick Rick Perry for the Energy Department? And meanwhile, Rick Perry's on the record as saying, I don't think that should exist. This is what George W. Bush did too, the classic example of let's put an oil executive in charge of the EPA. Yeah, wonderful, because I'm sure they'll uphold all the regulations that they need to, being that they would be regulating their buddies. Of course not. They're going to do the exact opposite. That's the point, and that's why they're doing it. But with Ben Carson, I find it particularly funny because I have zero doubt that Donald Trump was sitting around talking to his advisors, and he heard that he had to pick somebody for the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and he went, urban. I heard the word urban. Somebody call Ben. Where's Ben Carson? Tremendous. He's Secretary of the Urban now. He's my urban friend. He's my African-American. Remember that when he said that during a rally? Yeah, that's definitely the way his thought process went. Urban? Ben Carson's urban. He's a minority. He's my African American. So tremendous. I guess this will be a good position for him. Dude, he's a neurosurgeon. He's a neurosurgeon. What the fuck does he know about housing? And he's on the record as saying, that department is like a communist department. I mean, we all know the way Ben Carson talks. I think that this is a department that. I think that this is a department that shouldn't exist because it's like Stalin runs it. Oh, Ben. Ben, what are you saying, man? What are you doing? And there's also a hilarious quote from recently where he said something like, I wouldn't want to be in the administration because then I wouldn't want to hurt the presidency because I don't know what I'm doing. He said something along those lines, like, I can't run these different departments. Hey, jackass, you ran for president. What do you mean? You would have been in charge of all the departments. He's like, well, in charge of all the departments, I could do that. In charge of, you know, a specific one? I don't know. That's getting a little difficult. So this is just so sad. He's just picking people. I mean, it really is true that Trump is kind of doing what everybody feared he would do when he was, like, early on in the process, and they were asking him, hey, who do you like for the Supreme Court? He's like, Judge Napolitano. I like Judge Napolitano. He said that because that's the Fox News judge who comments on cases. I mean, dude, that's one step below saying, I want Judge Judy. Judge Judy is tremendous. She's a tremendous judge. I'm going to pick her. She's going to be the next, she's going to be on the Supreme Court. That's what it's going to be. So, look, it really is a terrible idea. And the guy simply doesn't believe in what the department does. And remember, there's some important stuff here. Their whole thing is to track patterns of income and racial discrimination in housing. So, look, if that's not something you're into personally doing, I get it, but then don't be in that department and certainly don't lead that department. You know, but it exists, and obviously the person who does this should be competent in that job, and Ben Carson is not going to be competent in that job, and that's a pretty important thing to try to make sure, like, oh, is there racial discrimination going on? Because you have to understand, there's a history of this in the U.S. They used to call it redlining, where you have certain communities where the banks just draw the red line around it and say, okay, this is like a white community. It's not official. It's not written, codified into law. So it's not like, you know, you can say we are officially an apartheid state. But it's kind of like a de facto system like that where you separate the races in some places. So you have the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Their whole point is, well, let's just try to avoid redlining and try to make sure that there is no unfair discrimination against people based on, you know, factors like race. But Ben Carson looks at that, he goes, I don't believe in that, I think that's communism. And now he's going to head that department. So, I mean, if it ends up happening, understand that that's a green light to all different places around the country, especially in the South, that, hey, the federal government is no longer on the case. They're no longer a watchdog to make sure that you're not, you know, doing discrimination. So go ahead, bring back redlining, you know, make it official from a business perspective, and federal government's going to have nothing to say because President Trump would put in, a black face to push forward policies of extremism and anti-black policies where he doesn't even oppose racial discrimination. It's an old trick and it's a sad trick. And unfortunately, we might watch it unfold in real time. Okay. Tremendous. Let me just tell you. All right, now we move along to what the Republicans are saying about Obamacare. Republican House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy spoke about Obamacare recently, and he really proved that he has no clue what the fuck he's talking about. So he said, "We believe with more people into the market, you get greater choice and that the demand is higher." All right, so if you repeal Obamacare, though, which is what they want to do and what he's arguing for, you get less people in the market. So that makes no sense. We believe with more people into the market, you get greater choice and that the demand is higher. Yeah, but if you repeal Obamacare, which is their aim, you will get less people in the market. And we know because insurance coverage right now is at an all-time high. Before Obamacare was implemented, there were millions more people, tens of millions more people who were uninsured. So his point makes no sense. It's a confused thing to say. Okay, then he continues. You allow those that can't afford it to enter the same market where they have more options, that the price will go down. Okay, now let's think about that one. If they can't afford it, and you take away their subsidies, which is what you do when you get rid of Obamacare, then they either won't get health care or their price goes up. So again, what are you saying? I'll repeat it. You allow those that can't afford it to enter the same market where they have more options, that the price will go down. If they can't afford it, and you take away the subsidies, which is what you're going to do under Obamacare, then they can't afford it even more, and they will not enter the market. Or they enter, and their price goes up, and they simply can't afford it, so they're going to be out of the market again soon anyway. So understand, man, he argues that more people would have health insurance if you eliminate Obamacare. I'm no fan of Obamacare. You guys know me. I want a single-payer system, Medicare for all. Worst-case scenario, I want a public option. So we got a shitty right-wing reform, the former Republican idea from Nixon and then from Dole and from policy papers from the Heritage Foundation, which is a right-wing think tank in the 1990s. Fucking Newt Gingrich supported this, Chuck Grassley. So I don't like it. But understand, it is an absolute stone-cold fact that more people are insured as a result of Obamacare. Again, we're at, you know, a record low uninsured rate, so a record high insurance rate. Now, the prices are a whole separate issue, and we can get into that. But there are more people covered today than there were before, tens of millions of more people. But his argument is, no, if you eliminate it, if you eliminate Obamacare, well, you know, then you would have health insurance coverage go up. I don't understand how they get away with this, man. Like, this is one of those comments that, like, this is a real scandal. Again, the media always misses the real scandals because they want to focus on PC outrage garbage and what Trump tweeted next. But this is, like, the real stuff to talk about because now we have these Republicans who are in control of the House of Representatives. They're in control of the Senate. They're in control of the presidency. They're in control of more governorships around the country. They're in control of more state legislatures around the country. They have control of fucking everything. And here you have the Republican House Majority Leader proving he has no clue what the fuck he's talking about. He's saying something that's just dead wrong, and there's no interpretation whereby it's right. So shouldn't the media go out there and say, whoa, what did you just say? Did you just say that if you get rid of Obamacare, more people will be covered? Well, you know that's not true. We didn't have Obamacare a few years back, and less people were covered. Now we have Obamacare, and more people are covered. So this idea, this like utopian idea that they have, which is based on nothing, that, well, if you just roll back everything any Democrat has ever done ever, well, then everything will be great. But again, we have the evidence, man. And, like, I love how the articles on this are always framed as, you know, we don't know. We're trying to figure out how we can make it so that you lower, get more people covered and lower the cost of healthcare. That we're trying to figure out how to do it. As if it's like a hard thing to figure out. As if there's not mountains and mountains of evidence that every other modern nation has, which shows that oh, yeah, single-payer system does exactly that. But no, that's not mentioned in the media. Even a public option at this point is rarely, if ever, mentioned in the media. The Democrats don't push it. So you're stuck on this ridiculous spectrum of repeal it or keep Obamacare, which is not doing too well at the moment. And then you allow these guys to get away with the most ridiculous claims, like if you repeal Obamacare, more people are insured. Right, and prices go down. Again, we know that's not true too. So people are saying, well, look, the prices are rising today and that's a problem. Totally true. But what they're not telling you is if Obamacare wasn't there and you didn't have the subsidies that you have, chances are the price of health insurance would have gone up more anyway. So you understand that? So the prices are rising, which is bad, but they would have risen more if Obamacare wasn't in place. But they frame it as like, no, the reason the prices are rising is just Obamacare. So if you get rid of it, all of a sudden we live in a healthcare utopia. Motherfucker, 45,000 people die every year in the U.S. because they don't have access to basic healthcare. So we have real fundamental problems to address here. But the answer from these morons is just repeal Obamacare and everything's good. Repeal Obamacare and do... You ready for it? The one answer that they have to this stuff. Well, you got to get rid of the lines around the states. And then everything is fixed. What? You remove the lines around the states so people can buy insurance across state lines. All the insurance companies will go to the state where they're taxed the least. That's it. So it's just a way for them to save money and pad the bottom line. They're not going to fucking, it's not going to help you. How the fuck is that going to help you? It's not. So they mask it as a cure-all. Meanwhile, all it is something that's just a giant giveaway to the health insurance companies who are already fucking you in 19 ways. So this is just sad, man. How do they get away with this? How does the Republican House Majority Leader get away with this? He says something that is absolutely ridiculous. You know, if PolitiFact were looking into it, pants on fire, wrong. You're claiming that more people would have health insurance if you get rid of Obamacare. We ran the experiment. We ran the goddamn experiment. We know that's not true. We didn't have Obamacare, and more people were uninsured. Stop letting these guys get away with this. Democrats, where are you? You should be attacking him endlessly. You should be mocking him. You should be laughing at him in public. Media, where are you? You should be covering this in a factual way where you say, you are wrong, and it's dangerous because you're in control now, and you get to control health insurance and healthcare policy, and you don't know the most basic facts. Okay. Bitch. Now I gotta go to Howard Dean. Alright, so Howard Dean is gonna prove to us here. You know what, I don't want to ruin it before I discuss it. Let me set the clip up, and then you'll get him in his giant fall from grace. Howard Dean is going to prove to us here in 10 seconds that he didn't learn the main lesson of the 2016 election.
Should the DNC continue to raise money from Wall Street interests?
We should raise money from everybody who we can raise money from.
To steal a phrase, wrong. You had one job. You monumental, colossal idiot. Why do you think the Democrats lost? They are now viewed by white working class Americans in what was the Democratic firewall in the Rust Belt as the establishment. They are the establishment. They are the corrupted. They are the people working for the big money interests and Wall Street. And Trump was out there, even though it wasn't true, Trump was out there saying, I'm not taking money. I'm self-funding my campaign. I don't need their money. I'm going to look out for the American people. We're going to make America great again. We don't need the big money interests. Is Jeb a puppet to billionaires? I don't know. I'm just asking. This is what he did. He ran his whole campaign like that. Now, again, it wasn't true, But the perception was everything to some of those voters who don't know all the ins and outs and all the details because they got to work, work, and they don't have time to go through all these different articles with a fine-tooth comb. But the framing is like it was so obvious and laid out there for you. Oh, if the Democrats just say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to totally rebuild from the ground up, and we're going to make it so that we don't take any money from corporations and any money from billionaires. If you have everybody take a pledge, and the Democrats say that, and they brag about it and they rub it in the face of the Republicans, that's the recipe and the roadmap for success. You have to understand, Bernie Sanders, an obscure senator from Vermont, only political junkies knew about him before this election. He went up against a behemoth in politics, the former First Lady, the former Secretary of State, the former Senator from New York. She was already a big-time celebrity, and she was anointed from the beginning. But a 976-year-old guy who doesn't comb his hair, who's a Jewish atheist socialist, came up and got 47% of the vote and won 22 states. And that's not even counting in the fact that the system was massively biased against him, as you know the WikiLeaks emails proved. How did that happen? Because he said, I'm going to do a political revolution where I don't need their goddamn money. I don't want Wall Street's money. I'm coming after Wall Street. They better run and hide, bitch, because I'm going to get them. His message resonated. Hillary's message was the exact opposite. She was hanging on for dear life against this guy who was supposed to have no shot. Why? Because Hillary Clinton represents Wall Street. She represents the establishment. Everything about her smelled like fake insider bullshit. You're going to take over $600,000 from Goldman Sachs and then go out there and pretend to care about regular people? I gave them two speeches and they gave me $675,000. Aren't I such a great person for the working class? No, you're not. Everybody sees right through you. But what if the Democrats said, that's it. We're done with that. We're cutting it off. $0 from Wall Street. We want no money from corporations, no money from billionaires. End of conversation. And you kept pushing that, and you kept saying that, and you kept saying, just like Bernie Sanders did, we're going to try to do this thing $27 at a time. We're going to crowdfund because we're the party of the people. We're the party of the workers. And now our finances are going to match our rhetoric. So now if we take all this money from accountants and construction workers and all regular people, who are we going to represent? We're going to represent them. We're only taking money from the teachers and the middle class because all we want to do is represent the teachers and the middle class. We don't want to represent Wall Street. So if you do that, that's how you win. But Howard Dean, he can't see straight because now he's such a creature of Washington. There was a time when Howard Dean was a progressive. He was viewed as like the Bernie Sanders of the 2004 election. Obviously, John Kerry got the nomination and then lost in the general election. Well, Howard Dean was the more progressive person in the primary. He lost his way completely. He became a lobbyist. He became a lobbyist. He sold out like that. And then he's going to go out there and he has the nerve to try to tell people the direction we should go in when his entire career has been nothing but the epitome, a quintessential example of the direction you do not go in. Now, thankfully, he dropped out of the running to lead the DNC. He wanted to lead the DNC, but it's hilarious he even thought for a split second that he would be the right person for the job or that we would fucking tolerate that. We see through your bullshit, Howard. It's over. I need you to fucking go away. I need you to step aside. I need you to understand that you're the goddamn problem. So that's it. I'm sick of these establishment Democrats. What more evidence do you need? You lost to a guy who said, I grab him by the pussy, I don't even wait. What do you need? He had a 63% unfavorable rating at one point. 63%. In fact, I think on election day, he had a 60% unfavorable rating. I don't know what other evidence you would need that you guys are colossal losers and failures, and your entire perception of what the election is and what it should be is wrong. That's all it is, man. So you need to realize you're now a joke in the eyes of real liberals and progressives. And you're a joke because of your actions. It's not because we're unfairly biased against you. It's not because we're the ones who have diagnosed the problem wrong. It's because we see through your bullshit. And the answer is no, you don't raise money from anybody you can. That's literally the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is that the Democrats sold their souls to their donors. That's the problem. Well, we're going to move away from that now. Okay. Let me take a break. When we come back, former CNN host and current editor of the Daily Mail, Piers Morgan, had some thoughts on Trump's media relations. We're going to talk about that. And then, oh, God, the speculation begins. Oh, not the speculation. Yep. Here it comes, the 2020. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back with all of that and more. Kinds of problems, man. Blog Talk Radio was somewhat glitchy today. Mic issues, fucking monitor issues. Oh, everything. All right. Let's keep going here. Power through, y'all. Piers Morgan. We're going to talk about this jackass. Who, by the way, me and him went back and forth a little bit on Twitter a while ago. I don't think he's a fan. I don't think he's a fan of me. That's all right, though, because I think literally nobody is a fan of him. Oh, shit. Okay, let's keep going. Former CNN host and current editor of the Daily Mail, Piers Morgan, had some thoughts on Trump's media relations. He said the following. I am in awe of his absolute mastery of the medium. I'm also flabbergasted at just how dumb much of the American media has been and continues to be in letting Trump play them in such an obvious way. Every time they throw their high-minded journalistic toys out of their strollers at one of his tweets, Trump wins. His brand thrives on the oxygen of TV coverage, newspaper headlines, and the media's faux outrage. It always has. Okay, so at first when I saw the headline of this on Mediaite, I was getting ready to mock it because the headline was, you know, the leading part there. I am in awe of his absolute mastery of the medium. Where's the baby oil? I'd like to jerk him off now. And I thought, this is classic Piers Morgan. He kind of like shut off his brain and praised Trump endlessly because Trump has a way of just saying whatever with no filter, and in some ways that's refreshing in the political landscape. So he was like, oh, yes, he's so great, Trump. But the more I read on in his quote, the more I went, oh, he actually has a point there. And the point about faux outrage is the one I think is, you know, irrefutable. Because I always said it, during the primary, they got mad at the wrong things. They got mad at the wrong things because they would take the offhanded comments that he'd make, like the one I always remember is he said the TPP is going to rape us. They said he used the word rape, and maybe that triggered some people in the audience, and they were outraged by that for an extended period of time. You know, the Republican ad in the primary that showed him cursing, as if like, ah, see, we got him, he's got to drop out now. Sometimes he says the word fuck. No, like, why would you attack him on that of all things? That makes people go, oh, so he kind of speaks like me. That's what people think when they see that. So that was just a wrong attack. Where I disagree with Piers, though, is he seems to kind of fall in the trap that a lot of right-wingers fall into, which is he thinks that, like, any media outrage against Trump or any campaign to discuss something Trump says that's outrageous is by definition helping him. I don't agree with that because there are scandals that hurt him during the course of the election, and there are arguments that stick on him. Very rarely were they used, but if you had a media apparatus and a media system that called him out on the right things, that exposed him for the monster that he really is and for the loser that he really is, well, then I think it would have worked. See, the problem is the key words he used there, the media's faux outrage. That's what he said. Yes, it was faux outrage, which is why he ended up winning, one of the many reasons why he ended up winning. But if there was genuine outrage over the genuinely outrageous things he said, well, then it would be a different conversation. But I think the problem is we're so jaded to the actual scandals. So, for example, when he said, I'm going to take out their families, he's saying he's going to kill civilians on purpose in the Middle East. I feel like embedded in the mind of U.S. culture, if you will, is this idea of like, well, I mean, look, we did the Iraq War and a lot of civilians died there. We're still in Afghanistan. You know, drone strikes right now are killing a lot of civilians under Obama. So when he says something like we have to take out their families, it's almost like now people look at that and they go, oh, well, at least he's honest about, like, what, you know, what's happening in the U.S., and then he's going to continue that. It's the great cartoon that somebody drew of, like, a bunch of sheep in the field and a wolf, like, billboard, and the wolf is, like, running for office, and it says, I will eat you. And then you see, a little blurb by one of the sheep who's like, oh, at least he's honest. That's kind of like what Trump was. But it's like the honesty was so lacking, and the violence is so normalized, that people want, well, we're going to get the violence no matter who we get. So I might as well guess what he's honest about it. And that's a horrible way of thinking. But you can see the logic behind it. But anyway, this is a long way of me making the point that they didn't even make a big story out of that. The guy said, I'm going to kill civilians on purpose. And nobody did the, all right, well, let's get back to reality here. That's terrorism. That is the textbook definition of terrorism. You're going to kill families for a political reason. What, you think you're incapable of being a terrorist because you wear a suit and tie and you maybe will become the president of the United States, which obviously you did? No, that doesn't mean anything. You can still be a terrorist, and that's what you're doing. You're saying, I'm going to be a terrorist. So instead of having the media, you know, focus on that, instead of having the Democrats run ads like I did where it's terrorist Don, hashtag terrorist Don, and instead of saying you're making us less safe, not more safe, now there are going to be more terrorists who want to attack us because you're going to take out families and then radicalize more people. Instead of doing that, that was fucking crickets all day long. When he's going around the country saying, torture, torture, we're going to torture, we're going to torture, we're going to torture, people were like, well, we kind of tolerated it under Bush, so I guess we torture now. Obama didn't prosecute the torturers, I guess we torture now. The media, again, jaded to that stuff, thick skinned to actual scandals, so they go, man, it is what it is. But, oh, did you say pussy? You said the word pussy, didn't you? Oh, we're so outraged. We're so outraged by that, the language you use. So the full outrage was the problem. That doesn't mean there wasn't real outrage to be had. I mean, real outrage. Again, Bernie Sanders is the perfect example of somebody who had Trump pegged. Trump said in one of the early debates, wages are too high. Bernie's like, well, thank you for that giant gift you've just given me. If it was Bernie running against him in the primary, he would run ads on that all day. Trump saying, wages are too high. I think wages are too high. Wages are too high. Wages are too high. And that would then force the media to cover that and say, yeah, that is kind of crazy, isn't it? But when Trump actually said that, media is fucking crickets. Why? He's on a stage with a bunch of idiot Republicans, and they all agree the minimum wage sucks, and yeah, they'd like wages lowered, of course. So, but again, the media, there was the opportunity for the real outrage, but they don't have real outrage because the people, the cushy elite pricks at CNN and all the other outlets, they're doing fine. Hey, I'm doing fine. I make a lot of money. I come to this comfy studio every day, and I get to yap about whatever I want to yap about, and I'm more interested in what offends the sensibilities of the other rich assholes I know at the cocktail party I was at last night with other elites. So they view the world through that spectrum and that prism. And the result is the only time you talk about Trump in a negative way, it's the faux outrage as opposed to real outrage about real issues. So, you know, this is the problem. It's not like all arguments against Trump are by definition bad or all PC outrage. They're not. But it just so happens that a lot of the arguments made by the media against him are bad and are PC outrage, which only strengthens him further. And that's basically the point that he's getting at here, that Piers Morgan is getting at here. Like, you idiots, you helped him. You don't even realize that. You don't even realize it. You helped him because the way you attacked him was so bad. And so it's like now a classic case of boy who cried wolf. You said so many things that were so stupid against him that now when there's super real criticism to make, did you just pick Jeff Sessions for attorney general who says good people don't smoke marijuana? And he criticized a white civil rights attorney as a, quote, traitor to his race. Did you just pick Goldman Sachs? Did you just say you want the Goldman Sachs president in your administration to control the budget? Did you just say you want Steve Mnuchin, somebody from Goldman Sachs, to be Treasury Secretary? So now that there are real things to get mad at him, people are, they're sleeping. They're like, I got it. Everything Trump does is bad. I got it. So I'm sure this is another example of that. Next. They made their bed and they're going to sleep in it. And this is why new media is so important. Because we try to make sure that I come to you with the facts and I come correct when it's attacking people who are nefarious actors. I'm not going to attack the nefarious actors with shitty arguments because I know that only helps them. I'm going to attack the nefarious actors with actual facts about how bad they are. Vice President Joe Biden spoke to reporters about his plans after the presidency and let the speculation about 2020 begin. Okay, So this shouldn't be the case. Don't do it. Don't do it. Biden said, quote, "I love this place," referring to the Senate. And then somebody asked, "Are you going to run again?" And everybody started laughing. Biden said, "Yeah, I am. I'm going to run in 2020. So somebody interjects, "For what?" Biden says, "For president." And also, "What the hell, man?" Anyway. So then they circle back to it, and a reporter says, "Just to be clear, were you kidding about running for president in 2020? And then it says, pause for about 4 seconds. Biden, quote, "I'm not committing to not to run. I'm not committing to anything. I learned a long time ago, fate has a strange way of intervening." So cue the 9,372 stories in the mainstream media about Joe Biden 2020, Joe Biden 2020, and what they did is they isolated the part where he said, quote, "I am going to run in 2020. And they said, see, he's going to run in 2020. Okay, but look, you need all the context. And you need the mood in the room. Was it a lighthearted side comment of joking around? I don't know. To me, it looks like he doesn't know what the fuck he's going to do. And that's the end of the conversation. He's open to it, but he's not sure. He doesn't know. Why? He's going to be 78 at the time. Just the same age as Bernie Sanders, by the way. Everybody's yelling at Bernie Sanders of like, oh, you know, you can't run in 2020 because you're going to be super old. You're going to be 78. Well, so would Joe Biden. But now all the articles are like, oh, he's going to run. And nobody's saying, ah, dismissed. Too old. Well, then why are you saying that about Bernie Sanders? But anyway, look, that's neither here nor there. How do I feel about Joe Biden? He's a mixed character. I actually think he's more liberal than Obama. So in terms of the spectrum of being like a really shitty establishment Democrat like Hillary, and on the other end of the spectrum being like Bernie Sanders, who's an actual progressive who cares about the people, somewhere in the middle, you know, solid character overall, some things I disagree with him on. But again, that's neither here nor there. Bottom line is, I don't know, you don't know if he's running, he doesn't even know if he's running, and that should be the end of the conversation, but no. Man, Bernie went off about this recently because he was asked this question by a reporter, and he snapped. He's like, why are you asking me that? You know, what do you do know when 2020 is, right? It's 2016 right now, bitch. Do you understand that? That's a long way away now, isn't it? Do you have any idea the problems people are facing all across this country? And that's what you're going to ask me? You're a reporter. You're supposed to hold politicians accountable. So you're supposed to make sure I'm doing my goddamn job. Instead, you're, you know, having horse race conversations about a horse race that's not happening for years. Who's going to run into it? Great. I love it. I cover it like it's the WWE. Okay, jackass, what about the fact that 50% of the American people make $30,000 a year or less? You want to talk about that? You want to talk about the fact that 76% of the American people live paycheck to paycheck? How about that conversation? How about the 45,000 people die every year because they don't have access to basic health care conversation? You want to have that conversation? How about the millions of people who are uninsured? You want to have that conversation? How about the fact we don't have clean water in Flint, Michigan? You want to have that conversation? How about the fact that our infrastructure gets a grade of D? You want to have that conversation? There's so many conversations to have, and you ain't having them. I mean, real issues that we face. We got to try to make this world a better place. We got a fucking climate catastrophe on our hands here. Every time you read an article about climate change, it's worse than the previously thought worst-case scenario. We're talking about the survival of humanity, and your dumbass is asking, who's going to lead us in 2020? Well, what about the fact that we just elected somebody who's going to lead us for 4 years, and we got to hold that person accountable, and we got to make sure that this person cares about the working class and cares about the environment. And instead of having any real conversation, it's let's fast forward to the next election and only cover horse race politics. Because, by the way, that's what a dumbed-down media does. A dumbed-down media that wants to deflect from the real issues because their corporate overlords don't want to address the real issues, that's what they do. They cover it like it's a sporting event. You know, hey, it's this team versus that team, and, oh, what team is going to win? As opposed to real, substantive conversations. So in the realm of sports, it would be what? Hey, let's get into the statistics of, you know, if it's an NBA game, how many points does this person have? How many blocks does this person have? What's their season been like so far? What are their stats? How does the team work as a cohesive unit? Let's get into the data on that. So on and so forth. That would be the equivalent of, in politics, you know, saying, oh, what's this person's policies? How do they plan on helping the American people? What's their track record? Who are their donors? All these different things. Don't discuss that. So it's just a super sad. And, again, I shouldn't be complaining because I'm biased because I'm new media. So the shittier they are, the better we do. But it's not just about me. I actually want there to be a body in this country, a fourth estate that checks power and makes sure that we don't run amok and the country doesn't screw itself. But when you have giant corporations and the elites that they handpick being the people who are supposed to be the watchdogs of power, they never end up acting like that. They're not the watchdogs of power, as others have pointed out, they become the lapdogs of power, which is why you get conversations like, who's running in 2020, even though we just had the 2016 election, as opposed to, oh, shit, look at all the problems the American people are facing. Look at what this asshole is promising to do. Let's talk about that and let's, you know, hold them accountable. They don't care about accountability. They care about trying to get eyeballs on the screen and doing it in a way that pleases the establishment, also known as Mission Impossible, which is why new media is now starting to kick your fucking ass. Okay. Do, bitch. Now we're going to go to the Washington Post. The Washington Post has a new story here on waste at the Pentagon. They say, the Pentagon has buried an internal study that exposed $125 billion in administrative waste in its business operations amid fears Congress would use the findings as an excuse to slash the defense budget. Pentagon leaders had requested the study to help make their enormous back office bureaucracy more efficient and reinvest any savings in combat power. But after the project documented far more wasteful spending than expected, senior defense officials moved swiftly to kill it by discrediting and suppressing the results. So that's hilarious because, understand, so they were looking for waste so that they could say, okay, let's, you know, fix that and then reallocate the funds to actual defense and not to, like, overhead nonsense. So they find a lot, $125 billion worth of overhead nonsense and waste. And they go, oh, shit, that's such a high number that I give up. Let's just leave it waste. What? Your conclusions would be the exact opposite. Oh, my God, that's so much waste. Let's get to work. Let's get rid of $125 billion in waste. Let's reallocate something that makes sense. You know, they're like, no. It's so bad, leave it. It's like you're cleaning your house, and you find that it's so goddamn dirty that you're like, I give up. Might as well make it even dirtier. No, it doesn't make sense. But it does make sense when you actually feel like there's – it's not really yours. You know, so if you're cleaning your house and you find it's really dirty and too dirty for you to give a fuck, and then come to find out that's actually not really your house. You're just renting it. So, you're going to move out next week. You can just move out next week. It is what it is. Leave it dirty as fuck. That's how they view the military. That's how they view the government. Am I really connected to this giant behemoth? No. Use it for my personal benefit, and then I'm out. So that's what they're doing. I don't know. I really don't care about this in any serious way. I'm not a patriot. I don't care about America. I don't care about our military. Waste, it is what it is. It's not my money. It's just all the taxpayers. It's the American people's money. So I don't give a fuck. I couldn't care less. It is what it is. I got mine. Now I'm out. I mean, this is – you want to talk about a scandal. Imagine for a second we found out a government program that was helping the poor. They just blew through $125 billion on nonsense. It was just waste. How would the Republicans respond? How would everybody respond? That's indefensible, and we should get rid of the program. For fuck's sake, remember the scandal with Acorn? They're spending funds wrong. Got to scrap them. Was it $125 billion worth? No. Oh, waste. Too much waste. We got to rid of the food stamp program. They try to gut the food stamp program all the time because they go, oh, so much waste, so we got to gut it. What are we going to do? when the military, $125 billion, and then we have the evidence that they covered it up after the fact, they're like, is what it is, dog, is what it is. Notice, they're never concerned about fiscal responsibility when it's for the military. When it's for you, that's all they talk about. Oh, it's a program that helps the poor. Oh, it's a program that helps the middle class. Can we afford it? I don't think we can afford it. We got to do cutbacks. Oh, we're going to go bomb Syria. Let's go do that. Nobody ever says, hey, can we afford that? Hey, hold on now. We have 800 military bases around the world. It costs $100 billion a year to keep up with that. We got 7 interventions going on right now. The war in Iraq cost trillions of dollars. I'm not sure we can afford this. By the way, it's not working. There are more terrorists now than there were when we started the war on terror. But I'm not sure we can afford this anyway. Nobody ever says that. Nobody ever says that. You want to know why? Because they've brainwashed you that that's patriotism. Patriotism is letting your military do whatever it wants, and you don't say a goddamn thing. And if you say something, are you unpatriotic? Do you hate America? Why isn't it the other way around? Why isn't it, no, the patriotic thing to do is to question your military and make sure you're doing the right thing. And, oh, yeah, the patriotic thing to do is also to say, are you trying to cut a program that feeds kids? Why are you unpatriotic? Why do you hate America? That's the real framing that makes sense. You want to cut a program that's looking after the poorest and most vulnerable among us, fellow Americans who are struggling? What kind of a fucking monster are you? That's the framing that makes sense, but that's not the framing we get. We get the exact opposite. Don't you dare question the military. If you question the military, you're unpatriotic. But it's also the patriotic thing to do to make sure you cut the food stamp program and programs that are looking after the poor and most vulnerable among us. And by the way, so what we're talking about here, $125 billion, this is in waste. But there's another fact, too. Because in terms of, like, shitty bookkeeping and just not knowing where the money is going, did you know that there's $6.5 trillion that we can't track? This is in the Pentagon. $6.5 trillion. So the $125 billion is waste. $6.5 trillion is, yeah, we spent it, not really sure exactly where it went. You want to know why that's the case? It's by design. You want to know why? Because we have the military-industrial complex, where defense contractors, who are really offense contractors, pay the politicians. So the politicians give them gigantic no-bid contracts, and they get to make more tanks and more fucking fighter jets and helicopters and Kevlar vests and, you know, army vehicles. And they get to sell them all around the world. They get to price gouge the shit out of the American taxpayer. They get to let these things pile up in a desert in Nevada. You know, oh, more tanks. We don't even know what to do with them all. Anyway, let's continue to give them another contract to do more tanks, even though that we still have more than we know what to do with. Let's spend over $1 trillion on a jet that didn't fly, the new F-35. And what are you going to do? It is what it is. That's what it is. That's what we do. We're part of this corrupt machine where the politicians get paid by the defense contractors and then they give them no-bid contracts. And it's $125 billion in waste over here, $6.5 trillion that we don't know where it went. Look at the reconstruction of Iraq and Afghanistan. Same thing. Tremendous amounts of money. Just, we don't know where it went. I don't know where it went. Because it went into the pockets of some guy who paid a politician. That's why. Again, don't question that. You're corrupt. I mean, excuse me, you're unpatriotic. They're actually corrupt. But they claim you're unpatriotic if you question that. You bring this up, forget it. Forget it. What you have to say is cut all the programs for regular people and give unlimited money to the military. That's their stance on it. It should be the opposite. We should make sure we look after the poor and the most vulnerable among us, and we should hold our military accountable. And now we have all the evidence of a giant cover-up and extreme amounts of waste. So conservatives, where the fuck are you? I thought you cared about waste in government. I thought you wanted smaller government. Now we know $125 billion in waste, and then they just say, oh, let's cover up the report that has it, too, because that makes us look bad. And also the $6.5 trillion that we don't even know where it went. Where are you calling for accountability? Where are you calling for being a deficit hawk? We need to crack down on this. Nobody can have a serious conversation about getting our house in order in the U.S. until we have a serious conversation about cutting the military massively. 54% of our discretionary budget is for the military. That's insanity. We spend more than about the next 10 nations combined. And most of them are our allies. We have to stop the madness. How much more evidence do you need? Okay. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, got a lot more to get to, including the fake news story that led to a pretty scary experience. And then Madonna talks about politics, so aren't you lucky you get to listen to that? All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back.
My dear, you do not know me, but I know you very well. Now let me tell you that I
Mystical. He was just, he would, anything he touched turned to gold back in like the early 2000s, and now everybody's like, Mystical who? Who are you talking about? I said yesterday on the show Gucci Mane when talking about our new entrance here, and somebody's like, it's Gucci Mane, Kyle. M-A-N-E, Mane. I stand corrected. That is true. True dat. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this fake news story. So there was a big story that broke over the weekend. A pizza place in Washington, D.C. called Comet Ping Pong or something like that, or something like that. I'm so official here. It was targeted by an armed lunatic. And the reason why this guy targeted this pizza place is because of a fake news story. There was this ridiculous story about how Hillary Clinton is running a child sex ring out of there. Really? Really? I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton, but that doesn't mean that literally any negative thing against her is true. I mean, that's... Come on, dude. Like, how do you fall for that one? So anyway, by the way, I think Michael Flynn, the fucking general who Trump wants in his administration, I think he had shared that. It's so sad. It's so sad. This is just the saddest thing ever. So anyway, the guy showed up with a gun. If I'm not mistaken, nobody got hurt. Could be wrong about that, though. So fact check me. But they said that the workers there said, we had been getting death threats, like, nonstop, ever since that fake news story broke. And now, finally, somebody showed up with a gun, and we're, you know, everybody should be happy that it didn't end in a much worse way, because it could have been a lot worse. Okay, but, the media now has been running with this for days. I mean, you turn on CNN, Brian Stelter's one, and there are a bunch of others who are just like, fake news! Fake news! That fake news is the worst thing ever. The fucking fake news is ruining this country. God damn it, what if something actually happens as a result of fake news? I mean, it was very, very close to something really bad happening. So we got to wake up, people. No more fake news. No more fake news. Now, so look, isolated and in a vacuum with no context, those are totally true statements. Because this is a disaster, and it is a disaster as a result of fake news. And there's a lot to be said about that, sure. But I think what's been bugging me more than anything is that these are a lot of the same people who are now crying about the scourge of fake news, who bought hook, line, and sinker and then pushed the idea that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and the Iraq war was a noble war. Now, at this late date, everybody has now flipped. I mean, it's hard to meet anybody now who's like, yeah, war in Iraq, totally brilliant idea. Only the biggest idiots in the country do that. But still, you fell for it. Now, they'll say, well, everybody thought it at the time, and everybody thought the world was flat at one point. Does that mean anything? No. It means you did a shitty job examining the evidence. Because, you know, people have covered this in detail. It was clear, it's clear in retrospect. They were just slapping together all types of, you know, nonsense, bullshit, the lie stories, and when you dug a little deeper and did a little more research, you went, oh, this is nonsense. And then they go, I love this, Judith Miller does this one. Well, the CIA and the, you know, my connects in the government told me it was real. Yeah, but your job is to fact check the government, not to fucking, I'm going to take them and be a stenographer and then assume that that's journalism. That's the opposite of journalism. What they tell you, you should have extra scrutiny for. So your job is not to just listen to the fucking CIA or the FBI or whoever your connects are and say, that's it, that's it. No, your job is to take what they say and then you go find the evidence and match it up against the evidence. And if you did that, you would have found out, oh, this is nothing. There's no evidence here. And by the way, there were so many assumptions built into the Iraq thing. I have no sympathy for people who fell for the Iraq thing at all. Even though, oh my God, only one person voted against it. I have no sympathy. I have no sympathy. Because look at the leaps of logic. They went, Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, and he's responsible for 9/11. Well, turns out we learned very quickly he didn't do 9/11. It was Osama bin Laden. Now, they tried to connect him to it. There was no connection. But by the time we did the invasion, they kept moving the goalposts. So it was like, okay, Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. He has weapons of mass destruction, and he did 9/11. Oh, well, the 9/11 thing is gone. Well, okay, so now he has weapons of mass destruction. And the weapons of mass destruction point should have been immediately met with the question, wait, is he going to use them against us? Because there's a lot of places that have weapons of mass destruction who we don't immediately go and invade and fight. Like, they're, you know, North Korea has it. Does that mean, oh, go get them? No. So Saddam has them, and the idea is, go. But wait, what? Is he going to attack us? So the leap of he has weapons of mass destruction to he's going to use them against Tallahassee in 13 minutes, there was like an implication there of dire, you got to go. But you shouldn't have bought into that. Nobody should have bought into that. And then eventually they just moved the goalposts. He was a bad guy. Yeah, there's a lot of bad guys around the world. A lot of them are our fucking allies. That doesn't mean you go in there, topple the country, occupy, kill hundreds of thousands of civilians, set up a worldwide torture regime. That doesn't make any goddamn sense. So there is fake news that has led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, destroyed a country, and led to the rise of ISIS. It was the fake news of Iraq. And that is on the media. The same media that now is clutching their pearls over, oh, a fake news story about a pizza place almost led to a shooting and almost led to huge problems. Again, look, I'm not downplaying that. That is a huge problem, and the fake news is a scourge, and I despise it. But what bugs me is they don't take responsibility for their own failures, much bigger failures, fake news that goes right over their head, and now everybody in the U.S. has to pretend like, oh, it was an understandable mistake. It wasn't an understandable mistake. You were dead wrong. The evidence was there. You didn't do your job to dig it up. You were dead wrong. You were stenographers to the government, stenographers to power. And as a result of you buying into fake news, hundreds of thousands of people have died. So, yeah, call out fake news today when you see it, of course, but also own up to your own failings. Because to this day, there's still so many things that are fake news that they run with. I mean, how many times have they covered stories of, or skewed the perception of stories by going with fake news brought to us by our own government? You know, so the government will pump out propaganda. Oh, the U.S. is arming moderate rebels in Syria. And then the media's like, the U.S. is arming moderate rebels in Syria. Well, then you do some fact-finding, and the program that did that, I think, ended up training 4 people because they couldn't find moderates because they were all jihadists and Islamists. And then of the 4 people they found, as soon as they went into Syria, they handed over their weapons to al-Nusra. Al-Nusra was al-Qaeda in Syria. So the U.S. government is arming moderate rebels. They're freedom fighters, freedom fighters. Well, hold on. They're actually jihadists. And you arm jihadists again, just like Reagan did with the Mujahideen back in the 80s. But the media, fake news. You bought into a fake news story. The fake news story being the U.S. is on the side of freedom and liberty. That's another one. We're fighting for democracy and freedom and liberty. Really? Why are you best buddies with Saudi Arabia, who's a theocracy? Freedom and democracy, except when we ally with people who do the opposite, in which case they get to do what they want, and we don't care about freedom and democracy. But outside of that, we care about freedom and democracy. That's a fake news story. It's pretty fake when you pretend like we're the world police and we actually give a shit about human rights. So the pearl clutching over, hey, fake news. You got to check your own biases too, man, because you guys really, really suck at your jobs. I don't think you get it. And the funny thing is, it's not part of a conspiracy. It's not like all the people in the media, it's like, you know, they're in on it, like in an Alex Jonesy kind of way, like they're okay with the black helicopters. No. The corporations, they hire these people because they know these people won't rock the boat, and they know they're not that bright in most cases. So they'll be the stenographers to power. So they're not going to question moderate rebel line in Syria. They're not going to question the Iraq war propaganda. They're not going to question. That's why they're there. So they're just not that bright. They suck at their jobs. And they're hand-picked to not rock the boat. So check your own goddamn biases when it comes to fake news, because you're spreading a hell of a lot of it. Do-do-do-do-do-do. All right, let's keep going. Very sad story here. There's a deadlocked jury and a mistrial in the case of Michael Slager. Slager was the officer who shot and killed Walter Scott. Let me show you the video for those who don't remember. Let me warn you in advance, this is a really graphic video. Reports are that it's one person on the jury who basically said he couldn't convict a cop simply because he's a cop. And also, by the way, the area where this is happening, 60% black, and there's only one black juror, so they picked mostly white people. I mean, this is like jury rigging 101. And again, the person who, there's one person who basically says, look, by definition, I can't do a cop. I can't do it. I can't convict a cop. Okay, well then you should, you're the exact kind of person who's supposed to be dismissed in jury selection. If somebody shows up and they're viewed as having an irrational bias, you get rid of them. So if your position is cops can do no wrong, well, then that's an obvious bias. You got to go. But no, he got in there. And that's the argument he made. By the way, think about how grotesque that logic is. The logic of I can't go against the authorities because they're the authorities. So by definition, a cop can never be wrong in my eyes. They're not guilty. Well, okay, so who are the people with the badges and the guns in Nazi Germany? You say that's an extreme example, but his argument is the authorities. The authorities, I mean, look, they're the people with the badges. They're the ones that are in control. That's the state. I can't go against it because law and order. All right, so who is the law and order in Stalin's Soviet Union? Stalin was, right? And all his cronies were the ones who ran the government. Does that mean that by definition they're right? And if they got a gun on somebody? Oh, it's got to be just. They're the ones that are in control. They're the state. No, that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. You obviously evaluate the morality of the actions based on the morality of the actions, not based on the identity or the categorization of the person in question. Logic out the window. Look, here's the thing about this that this kept me up last night, because if you can't find a guilty verdict in this situation, when can you? So Walter Scott ran away. You saw it. I don't even need to explain it. He got shot in the back. What was he, 15, 20, 25 feet away, something like that? Shot in the back. There's video after the fact of Slager walking up and planting a taser on him. And then he went on to tell everybody, he stole my taser and he was trying to attack me with it. Hey, bitch, we got it on tape. We got it on tape. We know you're a liar. We know you shot him in the back running away. Understand, deadly force is only supposed to be used when, you know, your life is in imminent danger as an officer. My life's in imminent danger. I had to shoot. I had to kill him. I had no choice. He was going to kill me. Did that look like Walter Scott was about to kill him? Is that what that looked like? To believe that, you'd have to be stupid. I mean, you're either a liar or you're stupid. You're undermining all faith in the system. You're undercutting all justice because you've now made injustice the norm. You know, I go out there and I talk all the time, body cameras are the way to go. That is a huge part of the problem, to fix the problem of police brutality. And then you see a story like this where it's on camera and it's crystal clear and they still don't find him guilty. And you go, oh, we're fucked. We're fucked. You live in a police state. That's what you live in. You live in a tyrannical system where they get away with whatever they want and you get away with nothing. You get locked up for having a little bit of weed in your pocket and hurting absolutely nobody. They can murder somebody in cold blood, in daylight, on camera. We couldn't find him guilty. We couldn't find him guilty. Look, man, I'm being a little flippant because it still is true that when you have the body cameras on him, studies have shown that cops are less likely up front to do things that are abuse of authority. So the body cameras are still a good idea. But this shows you it's not foolproof, and this shows you there are a lot of sick people out there, man. If you look at that and you say not guilty, you're a sick person. You're a sick person, and yes, there's a very, very high chance that you're racist. I mean, what do you want me to say? You got a white cop here gunning down a black guy running away from him. And you're still going to say, well, I guess, what, he had it coming? Is that what it is? He had it coming. He was running away, running away, running away. I can't. So is there nothing a cop could do that you... I mean, I say that, but literally that was the argument that Juror made. It's a cop. I can't. So why not officially codify into law they're above the law? The whole point of the U.S. is supposed to be the opposite of that. Remember when Nixon, if the president, the law is not illegal. Everybody went, shut up, fuckface. Shut up. You're wrong. Wrong. But with cops? Yeah, that's what the guy says. So if that's your ideal system, put the cops above the law, you do realize you have just allowed one class of people, you've officially set up an apartheid system and a subjugated a system where the people are subjugated and officially second-class citizens. And the police get away with anything. So they're a band of merry robbers and thieves and criminals who get to say, we are not criminals by definition because we have badges. The lack of logic and the stupidity and the lack of morality and the lack of ethics in that system, I can't even put into words. I'm absolutely positively sickened by this. I'm absolutely sickened by this. This was an open and shut case. And the fact that that wasn't manifested into reality is a fucking disgusting blemish on the record of the United States of America. We need to move towards justice. This cannot stand. It cannot stand when you have an officer murdering somebody in cold blood on video. And then they get away. Ah, mistrial. Hey, maybe we'll continue, but maybe not. Who knows? Deadlock jury. What are you going to do? Final fact. If you say, well, look, man, murder, okay. Maybe that's the issue. Maybe it was just too ambitious a charge. And the people said, duh, I don't want to do murder. Time is too much, yada, yada, whatever. I don't know. Do manslaughter, I do manslaughter. They had the option of manslaughter, too. They still didn't find guilty. Sick. Sick. Okay, next. All right, I gotta lighten it up here because that was just horrific.
Representative Louie Gohmert took to the floor of Congress to discuss some important official business. Let's watch.
About 7 years ago, the architect of the Capitol, who works for the House and Senate, had decided that we all work for him and started making demands, one of which was I could not cook ribs and share them with other members of Congress, as I'd been doing for a quarter, once a quarter. And there were, most of the networks had wanted to do stories on my cooking ribs. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do a TV thing on this. This is just between the members. Well, I am grateful that Steve Scalise got involved and he got Paul Ryan to help. And the speaker was able to persuade the bureaucracies here on Capitol Hill that we can make this work and have it safe if, you know, we work with each other, and was able to get people to work together so that my colleagues, they tell me, many of them, they're the best meat they've ever tasted. Some say the best ribs they've ever tasted. And I have enough of my late mother in me that I enjoy cooking and enjoy people enjoying what I cook. It's probably the only time here on Capitol Hill when I actually leave a good taste in people's mouths instead of a bitter taste.
Man, let me tell y'all about ribs I cook. What I do is I go on the balcony of my office, which I never use because I don't work. And I cook some ribs, and I get all the other Republicans coming to my office. And we talk about the black folk and the colored people, and we talk about all kinds of... We love the military. We talk about the military all the time. But we like to eat them ribs and sit there and watch some nice cars. That's what we do, man. And then they're going to come up to me and tell me you can't cook no more damn ribs. I say, I'm going to make ribs. I'm going to make some ribs. I used to be a judge. I'm Louie Gohmert. He used to be a judge, literally. That guy was a judge. Oh, no. Oh, that's so bad. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Okay. What are you doing, Louie? You're talking about ribs on the fucking floor of Congress. Stop it, man. What are you doing? This is like... He's just such an idiot. He's such a dim bulb. What is that guy's IQ? I'm not saying that to be an asshole, even though I am being an asshole. But what is his IQ? He can't be high. I like need ribs and I like people into my office. They said they won't do a story on it. I said, hey, ain't no damn story. I'm making ribs. I'm Louis Gumber. Mm-hmm. Louis Gumber. Dude, you think there's some more serious stuff maybe you could talk about? Just a thought. You know, 50% of the American people make $30,000 a year or less. Maybe poverty, you know, 76% of the American people live paycheck to paycheck. You know, we spend $100 billion a year on 800 military bases, wildly unnecessary. You know, hundreds of thousands of homeless people. Louis Gomer, I'm going to talk about my ribs on the floor of Congress. Real important business we got to talk about today. It's not like we're engaged in two full-scale wars right now. We got seven bombings going on, drone strikes in different countries. Talk a little bit about my ribs. I make delicious ribs just like my mama did. Beverly Hillbillies, man, took over in Congress. Louis Gomer, former judge. I mean, I think he may have been able to do more damage as a judge, so I guess I'm happy in a weird way he's in Congress. But please, Louis, you gotta go away, dog. How are you in Congress? All right, we go from Louis Gomer to Madonna. Because I throw curveballs at you. That's what I do. Madonna was named Billboard's Woman of the Year. I'm not sure why. Am I missing something? Did she do something? Did she release an album or was in a movie or something? I don't know. I honestly don't know why she's Woman of the Year. I mean, 1996. I could have seen it. Today, what? Okay. So anyway, she spoke about the election. And she said the following. It felt like someone died. It felt like a combination of the heartbreak and betrayal you feel when someone you love more than anything leaves you, and also a death. I feel that way every morning. I wake up and say, oh, wait, Donald Trump is still the president. And it wasn't a bad dream that I had. It feels like women betrayed us. The percentage of women who voted for Trump was insanely high. So when pressed on why she thinks so many women voted Trump, she said, quote, women hate women. That's what I think it is. Women's nature is not to support other women. It's really sad. Men protect each other, and women protect their men and children. What does that even mean, dude? What does that mean? I hate, those obviously made-up, concocted theories on politics made by people who just make a point of not reading the news and learning about what actually happened. And it's like when you're at a family event and some uncle or some shit chimes in, you know what? I think the problem is, okay, I'm giving away too much now, but there's an uncle. I have a bunch of uncles, so maybe they won't be able to piece it together, but... So there was an uncle I had who told me one time, you know what, the problem in the country is, I'll tell you, you know, in the 1990s, God took his hand off America. And I went, huh? What? What does that mean? That doesn't even mean anything. It's like, there's no evidence, no data, no proof. You're just saying stuff. It's like, I thought this. Now I'm going to say it. And that's it. And then wrap it up. I'm done thinking. I need no more than that. That's what this is. You know, the problem is, you know, women don't like women. Men protect men. Women protect men and children. Women don't like women. There it is. That's why Hillary didn't win. Counterpoint. Maybe it's way more complicated than that. And people, not just women, but people didn't like Hillary Clinton as much as they needed to like her in order for her to beat Donald Trump.
maybe it's not women in general. Maybe this isn't a gender identity thing. Maybe it's that particular woman. Maybe if it was Elizabeth Warren versus Donald Trump, Elizabeth Warren would have beat his punk ass from here till Sunday. So because I look at that, I go, you don't even, like, you're not even trying to find the truth. You just want to come up with something and then just pawn it off as, like, good enough, this is what I thought, so I'm just going to say it. Well, how about you actually look for the answer and you look for the truth? And the truth is Hillary Clinton represented the establishment. She was a corrupt, corporatist, hawkish insider. She was the candidate who came across as more pro-war than Donald Trump. That's insane. She's the candidate who, you know, defended Wall Street more. He was hammering her, oh, you're the swamp, I got to drain the swamp, and this is about the American people, and we got to make America great again. And he ran a better campaign than she did, even with all of his disgusting scandals, and I grant you many of them were disgusting and were terrible. But when you have a candidate that's just caught time after time taking money from special interests and doing favors for them, and taking money from foreign governments and doing favors for them, and basically saying, I'm going to continue what's happening now, as opposed to saying, I'm going to change shit and make it really good for you. She lost. So please, everybody, not just Madonna, I'm picking on Madonna unfairly here, but don't be that person. Don't be that dude. That person who's just like, I have a theory. I thought about it for a few seconds. And I have something that I'm going to say now, and I'm going to just assume it's true because I'm saying it. So I don't data, evidence, learning about what actually happened. Women don't like women. I got it. Women don't like women. And God took his hand off the country. There you go. Yeah, I mean, you got to change that if you want to change America. I figured everything out. Anyway, let's go grab a sandwich. Okay. Vice has a hilarious report on some grade A trolling from the Satanic Temple. They explain here, earlier this week, Texas officials finalized a set of rules requiring funeral services for fetuses in what many see as a transparent and particularly callous ploy to restrict abortion access in the state. In response, Satanic Temple spokesperson Jex Blackmore, awesome name, has announced plans to engage in a crass counterattack. Having mailed an ejaculate-covered sock to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, along with a handwritten note that says, "These are babies, please bury," Blackmore is publicly encouraging others to send Governor Abbott semen-encrusted materials of their own, or, for those wary of sending bodily fluids through the mail, items coated in a non-seminal but semen-esque substance. Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know, in 2016 alone, 28 states have introduced legislation relating to the disposal of fetal remains. So, like, funerals for fetuses. 28 states. I mean, this is a transparent attempt to, like, crack down on reproductive rights in, like, a roundabout way. So, oh, we'll just make it really uncomfortable for you to ever go through something like that, so you don't want to do it. So now you have to, like, bury your fetus and have a ceremony. What the fuck? And how early do you want to go? What if it's a gamete? What if it's a zygote? Like, what do you want to do? They're like, yeah, no, bury that. They say even for a miscarriage, you need to bury it. Oh, no, you didn't just do that. They did it. So the Satanic Temple is like, that's cute. Well, let's fire back. We're going to send you cum rags. Cum rags for Congress is what they're officially calling it. We're going to send you cum rags because, look, man, it's sacred. We would like you to dispose of this in a safe way. Have a funeral for it because this is, babies. You know, they're babies here. Brilliant fucking move. Now, there are legal issues with sending semen through the mail. So they said, look, you can send it if it's labeled clearly that there's fluids in there. You don't have to write, this is my jizz. You have to write, there are fluids in there. And it has to be, like, enclosed safely in order for you to send it. But they say, that's why they say, you don't need to just send that. Like, you could send semen-esque substances. So find some fucking gooey substance, some kind of glue that looks a lot like semen, and just send that. And they say, here, just, then you can get away with it. And totally, you skirt all the legal issues and all that stuff. So, yeah, I support this. And I love one of their quotes. I don't have it in front of me here, but one of their quotes was like, this is a crass, disgusting, unnecessary move we're doing. But so is their law. And I thought, ah, that nailed it. That's so true. Because it is a crass, disgusting, unnecessary move to say, we're going to make you bury, after a miscarriage, we're going to make you have a fucking funeral. You know, we're going to make you have a gamete or a zygote or what, take the morning after pill. Oh, you got to have a funeral, got to have a ceremony. Go one step further. Go one step further. I just jerked off and threw it in the fucking garbage. So I got to take it out of the garbage. We got to bury it in the backyard and have a funeral. I'll call over all my buddies, call my uncles and aunts. We'll come over and say, oh, Lord, the loss of a potential life. It was a potential life. What happened, small government guys? I thought you were the Republicans. Yeah, I got the government out of everybody's life. Unless it's pestering women at their most private time ever. In which case, get as big government as humanly possible. Counterpoint, fuck off. Okay, I'm out of time, guys. I love you, baby. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. You know the deal, son. I almost said deer. You know the deal, son. Everybody have a great rest of the day. Mwah. I'm out.